Our scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It reads, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.'" The word of God.
Thank you, Sam. I was just thinking with Emily sitting there and that child-to-be listening to all this. That's a pretty good deal. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's probably happened to all of us at one point or another where you said something that in most situations would be just fine, that you say it in the wrong situation. Like the person who said good morning after someone sneezed instead of saying Gesundheit. I mean, it seems kind of odd, right? Someone sneezed, good morning. Or the shopkeeper who said when one of the customers was leaving, instead of saying have a good day, she said, I responded with, have a good idea. All right, thank you. Thank you for that. I mean, we get a sense of how we're supposed to act in certain situations. I don't think any of us here would go into a funeral home and the first thing that we say with everyone mourning is, hey, how about them Colts? Wasn't that a great game? What do you think about the trade? You just don't do that. Now, a phrase that I've heard recently that I didn't hear like 10 or 15 years ago is a phrase, read the room. Anybody familiar with that? Oh, so okay, some of you, it's like, you know, read the room. Usually it's when you say something that's out of place. And someone will say, read the room. It has nothing to do with a room full of books. Dream, right? Yeah, I knew. Aaron's looking at the, you know, is it over here? Aaron's looking down there in that picture saying, oh yeah, we need one of those. Yeah, but what read the room means is you're supposed to get a sense of the mood of the room and respond appropriately. It's an issue of discerning where people are. And so when you go into a funeral home, you know it's a time of mourning, so you don't go in and try to, you know, crack a whole bunch of jokes and get people to laugh because you're trying to get into that same mood that they are in, reading the room. Now, some Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus one time, and they asked that he show them a sign from heaven. They were wondering about, you know, what was going on. Show us a sign from heaven. And Jesus answers this and basically say, you know what, this is really interesting, guys. He said, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today for the sky is red and threatening. He says, you know how to read or interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. Well, this is a passage, Mary and Martha, that some of you have heard maybe quite a bit, maybe have even studied. But I hope that today we can look at it maybe through some fresh eyes, some new eyes. Because I think that maybe, just maybe, this passage helps us to be able to not just read the signs of the time, but maybe even read the moment. So I invite you to pray with me as we dive into this passage. Father, I pray that you would lead and guide us as we take a look at your word. May it truly be a light to our lives and a light to our path. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't like anything here at all, said Frodo. Step or stone, breath or bone, earth, air, and water all seem accursed, but so our path is laid. Yes, that's so, said Sam. And we shouldn't be here at all if we'd known more about it before we started. But I suppose it's often that way. The brave things in the old tales and songs, Mr. Frodo, adventures as I used to call them. I used to think that they were the things the wonderful folk of the stories went out and looked for because they wanted them, because they were exciting and life was a bit dull, a kind of sport, as you might say. But that's not the way of it with the tales that really matter or the ones that stay in the mind. Folk just seem to have landed in them usually. Their paths were laid that way, as you put it. But I expect they had lots of chances like us of turning back, only they didn't. And if they had, we shouldn't know because they'd have been forgotten. We hear about those as just went on, and not all to a good end, mind you. At least not to what folk inside a story and not outside it call a good end. You know, coming home, finding things all right, though not quite the same. Like Mr. Bilbo. But those aren't always the best tales to hear. Though they may be the best tales to get landed in. I wonder what sort of tale we have fallen into. Frodo lays some pretty deep, Sam lays some pretty deep stuff there. What sort of tale have we fallen into? It's a question of discernment. What moment is this that I am in? Now, Luke, the Gospel of Luke actually tells us the tale that Jesus has landed in. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, this is a little bit before. There's 24 chapters in Luke, and so this is chapter 9, so it's almost halfway. And what we read is that when the days drew near for him, Jesus, to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So what Luke is telling us is that Jesus just didn't land in this tale. He chose it. Do you know what's going to happen in Jerusalem? Any of you know this? He's going to be crucified. He's going to be killed. And he knows it. So it wasn't an accident. He didn't just happen to fall into it. He wasn't at the wrong place at the wrong time. Jesus knew full well that at this point in the Gospel of Luke, things seem to change a little bit. If you read the room, you start noticing it. And on his way, he is in Bethany, certain village, and there was a woman named Martha who welcomed him into her home. Well, we know a little bit about Martha. We know that Martha had a sister, Mary. She had a brother, Lazarus. Not sure why Luke doesn't say that Mary and Martha and Lazarus welcomed Jesus into their home. Maybe Lazarus wasn't there. Then we know Mary was there, but he leaves Mary out here. Then he does mention Mary. So Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, and Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. How many of you have, like, siblings? You have a brother or a sister? Has there ever been a time when your brother or sister did something that was embarrassing to you? Okay. I don't know about the you at home, but I heard some laughter here, laughter of recognition. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they did. Now, in their culture, there were certain stringent expectations of the role of a woman and the role of a man. A woman's role was to do exactly what Martha was doing, welcoming men into her, welcoming friends into their home and getting things prepared. But that's not what Mary did. You see, she stepped outside of the cultural norms. And I'm sure it was a little bit embarrassing for Martha to know that Mary was in the other room sitting at Jesus' feet listening, because that wasn't the role of a woman. That was the role of a disciple. And women could not be disciples. At least that's what they thought. But here's Mary. Can you imagine Martha? We know she's in the kitchen. We will learn this. Cooking away. And I like to imagine that she's banging pots a little bit louder than what she needs to. Kind of like, okay, I'm in here. She's throwing flour up just to try to get some attention. And she probably can't believe that Mary's there. And she probably can't believe that Jesus hasn't said anything. Such as, Mary, what do you think you're doing? This isn't your place to kneel or to sit at my feet and listen. That's my disciples. But you're a woman. Can't do this. So Martha, Luke says that she's distracted by her many tasks. And she's probably also thinking, I can't believe my sister's doing this. How embarrassing for Jesus to have a woman sitting at his feet. She's probably thinking. Of course, I'm reading between the lines because Luke doesn't tell us what Martha was thinking. He just tells us what Martha does. In fact, apparently she was put out enough, resentful enough, angry enough, whatever you want to say, that she felt justified in going to Jesus and saying this, Lord, do you not care? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever asked God that? As you're trying to do what you think you're supposed to be doing, and you're there alone, and there's no help, and you're overwhelmed, and there's no help on the horizon. And maybe you've actually offered that prayer, Lord, don't you care that I'm here alone trying to do this stuff?
maybe you've come to the conclusion, maybe someone watching now, you've come to the conclusion that, no, God doesn't care. Because if he cared, I wouldn't be going through this right now. And maybe you've walked away just a little bit because you're wondering, does he not care at all about me and my situation and my plight? Well, maybe that's how Martha felt a little bit. And she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And then, not only did she feel justified in asking that question, she also felt justified, now wait for this, to tell Jesus what to do. Right? Tell her then to help me. One of the commentators pointed out the contrast between Martha telling Jesus what to do and Mary listening to what he says. But you know what? I think I can probably identify with Martha. How about you? How many of our prayers end up being telling Jesus, oh, you know what, Jesus, there'd be a much better way. I've got it all figured out. I've been thinking about this. And if you just kind of do it the way I'm suggesting here, I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to suggest, I think things would work out a lot better. So we kind of get where Martha's coming from. Can you imagine her anxiety level, maybe her anger, when Jesus responds by saying, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. I know what it's like to be distracted. I mean, I really know. I can't tell you how many times I've thought about like checking the weather or emailing someone, and so I pick up my phone, and there's a notification, and I click, someone's laughed already. Was that you, Chris? And I go, and I do that, and then I'm somewhere else, and about half an hour later, I lay down my phone, never checking the weather or doing the email. And I chuckle that, oh, I didn't even do why I picked the phone up. I can do better than that, Chris. There have been on multiple occasions where I've been sitting watching a game or something, and it's like, oh, I want something to drink. And so I go into the kitchen to get something to drink. I come out with chips and nothing to drink. And I thought, oh, well, I still don't have anything to drink. And I kid you not, I get up, I go back into the kitchen, come out with more chips and nothing to drink. I know what it's like to be distracted. I know what it's like to be distracted in prayer. You know, when you sit down to pray and your mind's going 1,000 miles an hour with all this other stuff, and you apologize, I'm sorry, God, you know, I can't stop it. It's just happening. But here's the interesting thing about what both Luke and Jesus say about Martha. We're only distracted from the task that we're supposed to be focused on, right? You're only distracted from the thing that you're supposed to be focused on. But what they both say is that she is distracted by what? All the stuff that she thinks she has to do. She's not distracted from the work in the kitchen. She's distracted from maybe what she's really supposed to be focusing on. Because apparently she couldn't read the room or read the moment. Jesus continues and he says, there is only need of one thing. And commentary authors and scholars will talk about this. Well, Jesus was just saying there just needed to be one dish. It just needed to be a small meal. Martha's trying to really go out there. And we don't know that. Again, they're reading through the lines, just kind of in between the lines. It's kind of like I am. But what I think of is the movie City Slickers. Well, Curly, the old crusty trail boss, is there, and Billy Crystal's character is trying to get back some joy in life that he had at one point that he lost along the way. And Curly looks at him and says, you know, life just boils down to one thing. And Billy's like, well, what's that one thing? Well, you got to figure that out on your own. Thanks, Curly. But I kind of think that's what Jesus is saying. There is only need of one thing. And you need to discern what that thing is. You need to be able to read the moment and the time. And he says, Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. What was it that caused Mary to get out of the kitchen, to cross over cultural expectations and role understandings, and sit at Jesus' feet while he taught? Well, in Luke chapter 9, the story turns. It's a different story. And I'm wondering if somehow, some way, Mary was able to read the moment. And she knew this time was different than all the other times that they had Jesus over. That there was just something about this time that was different. And I was wondering, how did Mary know? And then I was working on the sermon for Easter. And I noticed something. If I hadn't been looking at this passage, I don't think I would have ever noticed before. It's when Mary is there with other women and they go to the tomb looking for Jesus' body. I know we're in Lent, but you know, I'm kind of looking ahead. They go there and they don't find Jesus' body. We know why. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But they find a couple of angels. And the angels say something very interesting. What's the first word there? You can't remember something you didn't know. He said, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. And this is before chapter 9, verse 51. He was in Galilee. Then he started his move to the cross. He says, he told you that he must be handed over to sinners and crucified on the third day to rise again. Then they what? Remembered his words. Now, I don't know. Maybe I missed it somewhere in the scriptures. And I knew that Jesus had shared with his disciples on three occasions, at least, that he was going to be crucified. My assumption was that the disciples knew, but no one else did. But apparently, at least some of these women were there. And they heard. And maybe the reason... Did they understand? Apparently not. The disciples didn't understand. Even when they heard the news, they were still kind of thinking it was an idle tale. So the women would probably be in that same position. Although my wife tells me women are a lot smarter than men, so maybe they didn't know. No, she doesn't say that. I can say it because she's with the kids. So somehow... Mary was able, I think, to connect the dots. And she knew that somehow this moment was different than all the other moments. I wonder, on that Saturday, after Jesus was crucified and he was dead, I wonder if Martha thought back. And I wonder if she thought about that last time with Jesus. And I wonder if she thought, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have been in the kitchen. We could have figured something out, but I would have been right there with my sister, listening to Jesus. Because how many times have you thought, if I knew then what I know now, I would have celebrated that moment a lot more. If I knew then what I know now, that that was the last time I would be with them, I would have focused on telling them that I loved them and how important they were to me, rather than spending that time complaining about some little thing that they did or didn't do. What was it about Mary that enabled her to discern that moment and choose a completely different path? I think she listened. Because to discern, you have to listen. To read the moment, you have to listen. You have to be open. You have to be receptive. You can't be talking all the time. You can't be telling Jesus what to do. Because you're trying to figure out the moment.
So we're in the season of Lent. It is a time of reflection. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of renewal. What one or two things do you need to do to help you to listen and to truly hear? To be able to discern the moment we are in. Maybe it's just simply taking some time out. Maybe all of your tasks and all the stuff weighing on you on your to-do list is just pulling you away and you're not able to listen because you are so focused on all this other stuff. Maybe it's time to find time to set those things aside and to sit and simply listen. Lord, here I am. Your servant is listening. Help me to discern the moment where I am. And for some of you, maybe it's about finding some time in the morning to sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and just sit in God's presence and allow Him to change and transform you. Maybe for some of you, it's doing that at night as you look over your day and see the fingerprints of God at places that maybe you missed earlier. The morning folks can be looking at the day ahead. The evening folks can see what God has done. Or maybe for you, it's taking some time out in the middle of the day to recognize that God has been with you up to that point, and no matter what you're facing, He will be with you as you go throughout the rest of your day. Maybe it's sitting down with Scripture and truly allowing, instead of just checking it off your list, you allow it to really sink into your soul. You actually imagine Jesus there reading the Scripture to you as you sit and you listen as a disciple of Jesus. What is something that you can do today, tomorrow, to be able to listen? I invite you to pray with me this morning. Father, I know how easy it is to identify with Martha because there's just so much stuff that's going on and so many things that need to be taken care of, need to be thought through, all this stuff. To help us to really realize that there's only one thing that's needed. What if that one thing is to simply listen? Hear you speak into our lives. So that we know that this moment might be our last. So that we can savor every moment with you. And allow you to worry about the stuff down the road. Help us to be able to discern when to get out of the kitchen and to be with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and join.